Like, I wanted to just explain a little bit of what I'm doing, and then we can keep it casual and just like talk. Basically, as I mentioned, like I created a blog in the beginning, and I'm trying to find to create it more into a website, into like a well-rounded website in which I get contributors, and it's more of different perspectives and not just my perspective and like my face and all the time me talking. And so what I'm trying to create is basically is an online platform to act as a bridge for women to create and build the lives that they have always wanted, and it can be through their careers or through their personal lives. So topics that we talk about are career. It's probably the most that we talk about, but then we have wellness, we have beauty, we have fitness. And what I'm trying to do with the interviews, it's also get different perspectives and different points of views and backgrounds from people that are creating their own businesses and are creating their own lives and like in a life that they want to, not the life that they have always like been put in like this box to create it, but more of like following their own dreams and their own path. So the website, we create content, and for that we're trying to do informational content, so really research on topics and bring in like action points that people can take into their own lives, just so that it's not only inspirational, but they can also take action into that content. And then inspirational interviews, like what I'm doing with you now. And then what I was trying to do as well is trying to bring into life in my community and do small events just so people can network and they can bounce off ideas out of each other and just build more of a community, which I think it's missing, especially where I live. So that's like a whole summary of A Hint of Life. Do you have any questions about
That's a wonderful
anything?
plan. No,
Oh,
that's
thank
awesome.
you.
I like that you're doing that. It's very encouraging to know that this upcoming generation sees that opportunity and that they don't shun it and they don't see it as like being lazy. Or in the past, like when I was 20 something, I'm 31 now, it was almost kind of frowned upon if you had dreams like that. And so it's good to hear that that's more widely accepted.
And like I do this right now, I do it like at nights and weekends because I do have a full-time job. So it's a lot of work to commit to, but I just see the vision and I see like what I want to accomplish, and I want to help women that probably don't have the same support system that I have always had. So be that for them. So yeah, I
Awesome.
just want to learn more about you. So I sent you a couple of questions, and we don't have to go in order, but just like tell me about you. Where are you from? And like, what did you want to do when you were little?
Oh goodness. I am from a little town outside of Orlando, Florida. So essentially Central Florida. One of those towns where you go to school with the same people from kindergarten all the way through high school. And I got labeled really early on for having red hair, for freckles. I was in like gifted classes, so I was in a separate building, and I was kind of ostracized often. And that became what I identified with, was that I was weird, nobody liked me, I didn't have anything to offer. That was just like the identity that I formed in my head. And I have a very supportive family, and my parents were always encouraging me to do anything and everything I dreamed of, and that I was capable of anything. I just don't remember ever really sharing with them that I was struggling internally. I was being made fun of quite a bit at school. I never was physically bullied, but I was definitely psychologically, emotionally, and verbally bullied, and very left out of events, sleepovers, that type of thing. So when I was little, I think I just wanted to cure cancer. That was my goal. I don't know where that came from, but I think I was searching for something big that I could do, that I could prove myself.
That's amazing. I think it's good how you like since you were little, you're like, I want to cure cancer. I think most of the people when they're little, they're thinking about like being fashion designers or something like that. So that really speaks a lot to what you're trying to do now, just helping. So, just following up on that, like, how did you end up where you are now? Like, what did you go to school for? What did you do? Like your first jobs? How did you end up now, 31-year-old Rachel?
Well, let's see. I went to college at the University of Central Florida in Orlando. And while I was there, I started to really redefine my identity. I got involved with my sorority. I started to see that like I had speaking skills and that people wanted to hear what I had to say and that I was a good leader. And I was able to connect with the women that I was leading in my sorority, and I was praised a lot for like my leadership skills. They said, you did a wonderful job with recruitment. You were able to positively reinforce things. You communicated well. We've had the greatest recruitment that we've ever had. Blah blah blah, all this stuff. So I started to feel really good about what I had to offer, and I realized very slowly that all of those people in college didn't know me when I was in middle school and high school, for the most part. And so I was realizing that I didn't have to be that person that all those people told me I was when I was little. So
You
that
had a new
helped a lot.
identity. That's amazing.
And then out of college, a lot of things started to happen on a personal level with my friends and my family. My father left when I was 19. So I was about to graduate college. My college boyfriend, only boyfriend ever, had broken up with me. So I was devastated, to say the least. I felt really lost. I felt like I didn't have anywhere to turn. My support system was just gone, or what I thought was my support system was just gone. And my mother started to call upon me for support because she was embarrassed and she didn't want to tell anybody. So I became like her confidant, and I don't think she is proud of like the fact that she relied on me so much. But in that time, we didn't know anything different. It was all we knew. So I would go home often to her and help her, and it was this very trying time. And then after I started to see the light, I realized that I could go on to compete in the Miss United States, not Miss United States, excuse me, Miss UCF pageant. And I didn't win, but it was a very good learning experience for me to see that like so many people came out to support me. People were very encouraging. I felt like they were recognizing that I was a beautiful woman and that I had a speaking voice and that I could perform my talent on stage, and people were proud of me. And it started to really lift me up and show me what I was capable of. So then I decided to actually come down to South Florida where you are, and I went for another local title called Miss Suncoast, associated with the Miss Miami pageant. And when I won Miss Suncoast, I didn't really tell many people. I just went home after I graduated college. I went and moved in with my mother, and I focused and I read every article I could get my hands on. I rehearsed my talent every day, sometimes up to 4 or 5 times a day. I ate right, I worked out, and I really, really, really honed in on my platform and my messaging that I could essentially win Miss Florida and change my entire life. And that if given the opportunity, I would work hard every single day of that year to elevate the Miss Florida organization. I would form partnerships. I would be out speaking all the time. And my platform at that time was hunger and homelessness as we were going through the Great Recession at that time. This was 2009. And so from there, I won scholarship money by winning Miss Florida. I won scholarship money when I went to Miss America. And all of that scholarship money enabled me to study everything that has brought me to today, which was yoga, meditation, positive psychology, and integrative health. And through my studies, I've really formulated my curriculum. And now I'm launching my first online course for female entrepreneurs who are in a state of burnout and overwhelm, teaching them how to overcome that and find balance again in life. And so that's what has brought me here today. But it has been a 10-year journey.
So what drew you in the beginning to compete in a pageant? Like what was the thing that drew you to apply for something like that?
Just 1 second, Belen. Thank you, Belen. So
Yes.
what well I finally have come to terms that it's okay for me to admit this, but when I saw a poster, this is taking you back to 2009, is I saw a poster. I'll go get a cart. Oh, there's an empty cart right here. Oh no, that doesn't have a cart. Sorry. I saw a poster inside of my college commons, like I was walking to class, and this was back to that dark place I told you about where I was going between college and back home to comfort my mother. My college boyfriend had dumped me and started dating one of the girls on the track and field team.
Oh my goodness.
It was a big scandal. We dated for like 2.5 years, and then all of a sudden he just pretended like I didn't exist, and I had never, ever been in that situation before. And so I went from feeling pretty high, like having a boyfriend and a great family and doing well in college, to very low. And so when I saw that poster, I thought to myself, and this was my first thought, if I could win Miss UCF, then I will definitely show him that he should have never broken up with me.
Oh, kind of like a revenge thing, but it worked out for you.
It did, and it turned into something bigger than I ever saw in that moment. But that's the honest truth. That's what I saw. I saw the opportunity to show him who I was and what I was capable of and what he was missing out on. And I thought, this will solve all of my problems.
Amazing. So, I think like one of the things that we do when we're trying, like we don't really see them, but later on when we're able to look back, we see like the risk that we took. So, do you think like applying for the pageants and like doing all this 10 years, did you ever see like, oh, this is a risk I'm taking? Because what were you going to school for? Did you think like, oh, I'm going to do this for like 3 years and then just go back and get like a normal 9-to-5 job? Or did that like never occur to you?
Yeah, I see what you're asking. My father has always been entrepreneurial, so I've always had an example of working for yourself and not I'm not too good at being managed. I definitely, through this last 10 years, have been sitting in my hotel rooms while on the road modeling jobs, feeling very alone and wondering, like, did I make the right decision? Seeing photos on social media of all my girlfriends doing like they had solid relationships and they were starting to buy homes and get engaged and they have bridal showers to attend and they're doing everything by the book. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just really started to question my own choices and wonder if maybe that was just the easiest, that was the way I should go, that would be all the answers and I wouldn't be feeling like I'm searching. I would have the next step. Whereas the path that I have chosen, the next steps haven't always been clear.
And
So yeah,
did throughout
there
the
have definitely been times when I've questioned this journey.
And throughout this time, like, have you had a mentor? There's a lot of times when I've spoken to different women that they have a person that they always look up to, and they, if they know them, they talk to them all the time for advice. And if they don't know them, it can be like a celebrity mentor, what I like to call them. But do you think it's important for women to have someone in their same industry as a mentor, someone that they look up to, someone that they call for advice or like text or even now with Instagram? Do you think that is something important? And did you have one throughout this whole 10 years?
I think that's so important. And the honest answer, and I've been working really hard on just transparency and authenticity in all of my interviews. The honest answer is that I didn't have anyone at first. My family was going through a major transition, and so I felt guilty trying to call upon my mother for things. And I didn't want to burden her. And then, like I said, my father was going through his own midlife crisis. We actually have a good relationship now, but it's been a long journey. And I would venture to say that from afar, all the women that also have held the title of Miss Florida were my mentors because I watched and emulated them. But I've never had anybody that I could call upon. And I say this because I think it's absolutely vital that you find somebody that is your confidant and you can call that like your inner circle. So they know what your plans are, what your vision is, and how you're going to get there. And why not take advantage of somebody who, not advantage, that's not a great word, but why not take the opportunity to invest in a mentor? And sometimes you have to pay these mentors or coaches, but they give you years and years of wisdom and prevent you from creating mistakes that could set you back. I'm fairly confident that I could be where I am today, probably 5 years ago, had I invested in a coaching program or found a mentor and paid for them to guide me and keep me on track and moving forward faster. I think I could have accelerated faster had I had a mentor. It's been a long 10-year journey. I currently am in a coaching program that I invested in about 2 months ago, and I would not be launching my course next month if it weren't for this coaching program. So I am a huge advocate of mentors and coaching.
So yeah, just to follow up on that, what work do you do with this coaching program that you're in right now? What does it help you with? Like, is it, do you meet with someone on a weekly basis or like monthly? How does it work?
This coaching program that I'm in right now is very specific. It's for somebody like myself who is a coach who is ready to launch an online offer. So I have been working one-on-one with clients for about 8 years, and it's becoming too much on my schedule where I can't keep up like that, and I can do a much more effective job by putting all of my basic essential work that I start with my clients into an online course, and then I offer weekly coaching calls. So if somebody's enrolled in the online course, they have access to me weekly for the time that they're enrolled in the course, and then they have lifetime access to the actual digital course. The coaching program that I'm in right now is what is guiding me on how to put something online, how to launch it, how to market it, how to define my ideal clientele, and make sure that my course is being advertised to them, whether it be through Facebook or Instagram or word of mouth or my existing client base. So I would not be accelerating as quickly as I am if it weren't for this program.
That's amazing.
So
just to follow up on this, how, so you were in kind of like a certain lifestyle for 10 years, and now you're saying goodbye to that and starting new and bringing forward your business. So why did you choose to pursue this type of business? Like, what's in it for you? What's the goal for you with this, with your business?
You're doing such a good job summarizing. Thank you. I love interviews because it helps me to get myself up to speed. It causes me to put the mirror on myself and dig in and understand what's next. I would say that I am essentially changing what I've been doing the last 10 years, and I can't say that it's been bad the last 10 years. It's all I've known. But what's it for? I'm going to start with what's in it for why I decided to do this work. When I finished being Miss Florida back when I was 22 years old, the personal transformation that I had gone through by having the training that I received, whether it was my public relations manager, the speech lessons I was given, the innumerable amount of events that I had to host, the lobbying I did on Capitol Hill, the meetings that I was in on, the meetings that I led, the partnerships that I forged, all of that happened while I was in Florida. And I would venture to say that because I had that title, I felt more powerful, and it was almost like a secret identity that I was able to say, like, this is not Rachel asking for these things, this is Miss Florida asking for these things. But when I finished being Miss Florida and I was stripped, not stripped, but that title was no longer my my badge or my, what's the word I'm looking for, the thing I could hide behind, my shield, then all of a sudden I had those same skills, but I was Rachel Todd. And the question I have been asking myself for the last 8 years while working with clients and since finishing being Miss Florida is, how do I teach this to every woman I come into contact with? How do I get every woman to step into her power, to plant her 2 feet on the ground, to understand what she's capable of doing, to shed any false identities that were created when she was little, so that she can finally live the life that she is meant to live from a place of love, from a place of authenticity, from a place of clarity? How do I teach this? Because not every woman is going to go be Miss Florida for a year, right? And I know that, but how can I teach this in a curriculum? And so that's the question I've been asking every day while building this course. So what's in it for me? My passion is seeing other women flourish and become like the incredible powerhouses that they were always meant to be. I think that we're all born that way, and that through life experiences and things that happen to us and things that are said to us and names that we are called, that's what kind of beats us down into the ground and makes us feel really small and worthless. And the pattern I see is that as soon as we're able to change our mindset around that identity, as soon as we're able to shift our thought patterns, which is possible to do through positive psychology practices. And this is intentional work. It takes work to change your mind and to shift your brain wavelengths and your thought patterns. But that's what I teach. And once you're able to shift your mindset, you're unstoppable.
Yes, I agree 100% with everything that you're saying. And it's like, we have so much in common. it goes hand in hand with what I'm doing as well. I'm just not a coach. But what do you think has been the biggest risk that you have taken so far in your career?
The biggest risk I have taken is actually investing in this course. It's never, I mean, unless, I don't know, even if I were probably a multimillionaire at this point, which I'm not yet, but I will be, I don't know that it ever feels good to invest thousands and thousands on something that's not tangible. But I do see the value in it, and it has absolutely changed the trajectory of what I'm going to be accomplishing in the next month, where it's taken me 8 years to get this far on my own. That's probably the biggest risk I have taken. And I encourage anybody who is ready to level up or take their life to the next level to invest. And I pulled it out of a savings account, which is I'm totally open about, but it was something that was scary, but I know that it's going to pay off tenfold very, very soon.
Right. And I think it's also a kind of like a level-headed risk. Like you have a plan for it. So it's not like you're just jumping in and like nothing is planned. So I think that's like for myself, speaking like from me, I'm kind of like risk adverse at some points because if I don't have a full plan of how things are going to happen, then that is something not for me. And I feel like the way that you're speaking, it's probably the same. And that's why you were able to move forward with that. And it's a risk, yes, but it's also a plan that you already have. And you know every single step on how it's going to become a success. So in this type of situations, also there comes sacrifice, right? So do you think the sacrifice that you're making is ending your 10-year career, sort of like in the pageant world and the model world? Or what's another sacrifice that you see coming up for you with this new era of your business?
I don't see those as sacrifices. I understand what you're asking. The modeling world has been really fun and good, and for the right time in somebody's life, it's very fun to travel that much and live in hotel rooms and not know where you're going to be next week and never unpack your suitcase. But I would say that the biggest sacrifice is that I have had to let go of that ideal picture that society puts in our heads a lot of time as to where we're supposed to be on a certain time clock. So I'm 31 and I'm not married yet and I don't have any children yet. And I have just finally settled into a house with my boyfriend in Jacksonville. I am for the first time putting my business name on a brick and mortar building, and we'll be doing private exclusive nutritional counseling, mindset counseling, and yoga private classes there. So I've been sacrificing like not having that traditional picture for a really long time. And at times what society was expecting of me based on my age got to me. And there are people that are from the traditional mindset that will say things like, you know, when are you going to get married? And you have the perfect man that you should marry. And, you know, do you have kids yet? Why don't you have kids yet? All that stuff. And there were times it got to me and it hurt. And I would just call my mom and talk to her about it and get the assurance that I was going to be just fine and that 30 is not that old. But I'll tell you what, it feels really good to have established where I am now, and the relationship that I'm in personally has benefited from all the growth and development and foundation that I've created as a human being. Because when people say that you can't have two halves coming together to make a whole for a relationship, I never understood that until I felt whole. And so when you have two whole people coming together, it isn't as much conflict. You can have conscious communication, mature communication. The arguments are nowhere near the dramatic arguments that I have had in past relationships. And it's two adults talking to one another who have a plan for their lives, who are ready to bring their two lives together for something great. So more synergistic rather than like puzzle pieces.
Amazing. So how did you, when you were mentioning that some people were like, when are you going to get married? When are you going to have kids? And I know that's something that I personally struggle with because it is not in my radar and like not even like the near future. So and it definitely also gets to me. So what were some of the things that you used to make you like feel better? Like there are some people that their whole life they have planned out to be like a stay-at-home mom, and all they want to do is like have kids and be like the soccer mom. And there's other people that probably put their career first. That's like more like my case. So what are some of the things that you can tell other women to be able to overcome that, to be able to not feel ashamed for choosing something that society doesn't always let you choose, because they have you in this box is like, you need to get married, your cousin's getting married, your other cousin's getting married, like what's happening? And it's just not in your mindset right now. So what are things that you can tell us to be able to overcome that like shameful fear, I guess, like, oh, am I not going in the right path? Am I choosing wrong? What would be some of your advice?
I would, let's see, in my work of studying shame and vulnerability, and those are two opposite things, right? So vulnerability for a long time in our parents' culture was viewed as weakness. But really what we're finding is that those that are most vulnerable are those that are most brave. And so I think it really comes down to shifting your mindset to a place where you feel safe and comfortable and brave enough to share your story with those that are asking, and from a place of love. So for those particular relatives that are asking about it or who are constantly pestering you about it, I would say a one-on-one conversation, a very loving conversation that's like, you know, this is coming from a place of love and this is coming from my heart. I see that in my future one day, or that's something that I really do look forward to. I know it'll happen if it's meant to happen. Right now, what I'm focusing on is this, because I want to bring my full self to a relationship eventually. I want to have a relationship where I can encourage my partner to grow and vice versa. And in order to do that, I need to be alone right now so that I can build that person, so that I can become that person that is deserving of the man that I feel worthy of, that I'm dreaming about. So I think that honest, one-on-one, vulnerable conversations are really important, especially with the people that matter most to us. The other thing I would say is to put on, this is metaphorically speaking, but I play Taylor Swift's Shake It Off all the time. And I dance around by myself or with my boyfriend's daughter, and we dance until we can't breathe, because you have to energetically shift that stuff out of your body. Because I'm telling you, from somebody who has held the position of Miss Florida, who has just passed on the title of Miss United States this last Saturday, it does not matter what you think my life looks like from the outside. There are always people who are going to have judgments, and there are always people who are going to have their opinion about how you should be living your life, or how you should be speaking, or who you should be dating, or where you should be living, or what children you should be having right now. And I experienced it just this past week. There were people bullying me through Instagram just based on things that I say on my profile. And I had to just keep choosing love over and over and over again and realize that, one, I'm probably not receiving as much hate mail as somebody like Taylor Swift, and she has to shake it off. Right. And two, that those people don't matter, because they're not the ones that are going to be standing beside me at my wedding. They're not the ones that are going to be at my funeral. They're not the ones that understand the work that I'm doing in the world. And they might never understand it, and that's okay. And those people will always be there. So just coming to grips with that. And then also journaling has become really, really helpful. I don't journal for like pages on end, because I don't really like to write that much. There are some people that really like writing. I keep a gratitude journal. And that's a positive psychology practice that I teach in my course, where it has become a habitual daily practice of writing down 5 things that I'm grateful for. And I know it sounds trivial to those that aren't doing it, but it really, really shifts your perspective on life. And that when things are getting you down, or you're feeling a little less than, calling upon the things that you've been writing in your journal, things like the ability to walk, the fact that I can breathe on my own, I have a car of my own. I don't have to rely on a bus schedule. Right. I have a warm bed to sleep in. I have a roof over my head. The basics become so, so obvious. And then the next time you're feeling down in the dumps, and somebody in a wheelchair who you know has been in that wheelchair their whole lives goes past you, you're suddenly like jolted awake, and you feel gratitude, and you all of a sudden are riding on a high, because you are living an incredible life with 2 feet that work, and you get to go out and do whatever you want in the world, and that person doesn't get to.
That's amazing. For the journaling, the gratitude journaling, do you do that in the morning when you wake up, or is it more like a throughout the day practice?
No, I totally just keep it next to the bed. Yeah. And I like to do it at night, because it helps me just also, if you were to go through my gratitude journal, there's not just 5 things. Sometimes I write down like the 3 big things I need to get done the next day, or I'll also write down victories and wins. And they say that keeping something like a brag book next to your gratitude, inside your gratitude journal, is another practice you can, that I like to do, because it reminds me of how far I've come. And that journal is just for me. And brag book is to remind me of my worth, because we all go through times where we don't feel worthy. So it's so important to have something like that to bolster you in times when the world's trying to pull you down. And the brag book, again, is just for you. You don't have to let anybody read it. And you're not flaunting it around or taking pictures of it and posting it on Instagram.
Yes. What's one thing that you try to do to maintain a good, happy personal life? I guess it can be the gratitude journaling, but what's like another thing that you do in your day to day to maintain, like, keep positive all the time?
Working out. I try to move my body every day, even if I force myself to like shut my computer in the middle of a project and go outside for a walk and leave my phone in the house. I just get outside, or I go tonight. I just found on Instagram through searching Jacksonville's active hashtag or something like that, 904 fitness or something like that. I saw that there's a yoga class with this teacher coming from California, and it's at 7:45 tonight, and
You'll be there.
Normally, I get really tired at like 8 p.m. or 8:30, but I know that I need it today. I know that I need that. So I'm just listening to my body, and I'm free at 7:45, and it actually happens to be about 2 miles from my house. And so I'm gonna go. And I try to just find something every day. I really have enjoyed Pilates lately for strengthening and toning. When you get something like that done every day, even if it's 45 minutes or even 15 minutes, it just creates space to where you don't feel like you're running 300 miles per hour 24 hours a day. At
Yeah.
least you created a pause, and that helps immensely.
Awesome. I guess my last question would be, if you lose everything tomorrow, what impact do you want to have in the world? Whether it's with your family, friends, with your community, just like the impact that you want to leave behind.
Stripping everything away is something I always try and look at. If it was all gone, like what matters? And I have really followed the teachings of A Course in Miracles and Marianne Williamson and Gabrielle Bernstein,
I
and
love
really
them.
what I've really, really focused on and what is at the core for me, if you were to boil it down to like a pea-sized chunk of information, is that we have to choose love over and over and over and over and over again. And in a world where it's swirling around us in a state of frenzy and people are glorifying being too busy, choosing love becomes one of the hardest things to do sometimes. And if we could all just pause more often and ask ourselves, okay, in this moment, am I choosing love or am I choosing fear? And fear shows up as irritability, selfishness, anger, snapping at your loved ones, being hard on yourself. That's all fear. So the opposite of that is just literally choosing love over and over and over again, even to those that do us wrong, even to those that want to put us down, even to those that misunderstand us, or those that want to say horrible things about us behind our backs. Like, we do not know what they are dealing with, and it doesn't matter. We have to just keep choosing love. And I hope that my messaging through my online course, through my social media, through my blog, through my YouTube videos, through anybody that meets me in person, like, I just want to show others that it's okay to live authentically and with transparency, because that's the easiest way to just keep choosing love. Because if I am transparent and vulnerable and authentic, and somebody still wants to say something badly about me, then that's okay, because I did the best I
You're
could to
being you.
show all my true colors. Like, there's nothing else I could do. There was nothing else I could have said or done in order to change that person's opinion, and that's okay. They're not done working. Their story's not over. They must have something else that they've got to work on or that has got to shift for them in their life. And that's not my fault. And I don't blame them for it either. Maybe they're not aware of it. So yeah.